Blog Talk Radio.
Make the summer we bless still with food. Me a funny girl say blessings are on him though. Me a dead dead dead. Imagine cause I'm tired because I'm over and over. What's it to be?
I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed.
Hey! Right now, man, you know, say me well blessed. Inna me life, a pure peace and happiness. Inna me face, man, you can't find no stress. Me love God, so no doubt me, I confess. Jesus Christ, I'm my Lord, I'm my Savior. Jesus Christ, Him is my Redeemer. Jesus Christ, Him is my Provider. Jesus Christ, Him is my Protector. Right now, I am just the one-minded. I'm the one-minded to be disappointed. Right now, church, I'm just too blessed. Just too blessed to be blessed. I am too blessed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed.
Yo, praise the Lord and welcome to Vision. This is Evangelist Faith Reed, and I'm so glad that you've tuned in tonight. We have been studying this year, this brand new year, we've been studying Your Life Has Purpose. Your Life Has Purpose. And tonight we will be talking about the Jonah experience, and the fact that even when you're in the belly of the whale, your life still has purpose. You know, we are faced with so many things in life, and sometimes we get discouraged and we start to wonder whether our life still has purpose. Well, I want to encourage you today, tonight, whenever you're listening to this message, I want to encourage you to realize that your life does have purpose. Bow your head and let us pray. Father, we just give you glory, honor, and praise. We bless and we lift up your name on tonight. Lord, I thank you because you are truly an awesome God. Lord, each and every day I declare the wondrous works of your hands, for you are truly awesome. And Lord, words could not begin to praise you. Tongues could not begin to praise you enough. But Lord, I bless you right now. Lord, I pray for all those that are listening, that you would touch them, that you would bless them abundantly. I pray for those that are sick that need to be healed. I pray for those that need encouragement on tonight. I pray that you would truly touch in the name of Jesus. I pray for our friends near and afar, God, that you would truly touch them right now. I pray for those, oh God, in the African nations. I pray for those in India, Lord, in the Middle East, in Europe, in Asia, Lord, in Japan, China, all those areas, Lord, in Russia, Father, oh God, Yugoslavia, all, Lord, whatever places around the world, Lord God, and in many states around the United States, we pray that you would truly touch. We know, God, that you're able, oh God, to do great and exceedingly abundantly, Father, more than we can think, more than we can imagine. Lord Jesus, we pray for presidents and those who sit in authority over nations, oh God. We pray for our president that sits in authority over us, Lord God, in the United States. And Lord God, we know that you are the person who orchestrates everything. And Lord God, we know that you can work out everything the way that it should be done here in the U.S. and abroad. We pray, Lord, right now that you would touch, move in a special way, oh God. Father, give knowledge, wisdom, and understanding right now. You know the desires of your daughter's heart and your son's heart, so God, you know, God, those that will hear this message, we pray that you would touch them right now. We pray that they would be encouraged and be strengthened right now. And Lord God, I just thank you once again for your touch. Father, use me for your glory and your honor. And I pray that your people will draw closer to you, Lord God, that when they hear this message, Lord, that they will be encouraged to walk and to pray and to seek your face some more. And Father, I say thanks to you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Dear friend, I'm so glad that you have joined me another time to study the Word of God. Each time I'm able to study with you, it is just such an exciting time because I realize that all of us have a busy schedule and that when you take time to listen to me, it means that you are sincere and you really want to study the Word of God. And that is such a wonderful thing to know that you have a desire to draw close to God. I was just discussing with someone today the fact that I started out this journey a long time ago. I'm in midlife now, but I started this journey as a teenager. And I remember it was such an exciting time. I was not seeking to get anything from God because, of course, I was too young to own a house or you know, any major purchases. I was young and just excited to be in the presence of God. And I want you to know, dear friend, that when you are sincere about serving God, that he will encourage you and he will give you the strength that you need. I was young and just had a zeal for God. And I want you to know that one of the things that I prayed that God would allow me to continue serving him with the same zeal. And I want you to know, dear friend, that God has answered that prayer. I have been zealous and excited about serving God for over 25 years now. And I am just so grateful to God that he allowed me to serve him. And I want you to be encouraged, dear friend, that your life has purpose. Your life still has purpose. And if you ever felt as if it didn't, I want to remind you of that. And so we are studying tonight from the book of Jonah. Jonah was a prophet of God. God spoke to him to go to Nineveh. And Nineveh was a city that was not exactly a city that was friends with Israel. They were wicked. I don't know what types of things they had going on in their city, but we know that it had to be very, very bad for God to want to destroy them. And so we know that some of the things that God does not like, he does not like idol worship. He does not like for us to put anything before him. He likes to be first and foremost in our lives. He does not like for us to prioritize and then put him at the bottom. He needs to be at the top. And so we see, dear friend, where Jonah was told to go to this city, Nineveh. He was told to go and preach to them, and Jonah decided to go in the opposite direction. I don't know if you have ever met anyone who was supposed to be anointed and saved, and when God speaks to them or spoke to them and told them to do something, they decided that they didn't want to do it. Well, Jonah was such a person. He knew what God wanted him to do, but he chose to do the opposite. I want you to know, dear friend, that when God calls you, when he speaks to you, when he tells you what you need to do, you ought not to run in the opposite direction because there's no place to run. Wherever we go, we are in the presence of the Lord. And so Jonah did not want to listen to God. He wanted to disobey God. And I want you to know that disobeying God is not a good thing because I would not want to be the one standing in the presence of God with God's wrath in my face. And so Jonah did this. Jonah was a hater. And a hater in American vernacular among the youth means that he was a person that did not want to see someone else succeed. He did not want God to spare these Ninevites. He really wanted them destroyed. And so we see in verse 1, the Bible says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah," you see that but, B-U-T, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now, you would think that a prophet of God would have more sense than to try to run from God. But apparently, Jonah forgot who he was serving. He forgot whose side he was on and decided that he was going to do just that and run from the presence of the Lord. The Bible says in verse 4, "But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the weirs that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep." So here are these men. I don't know whether they were good men or bad men, but these were just regular sailors, and they were sailing on their way to another city, Tarshish to be exact. Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh, so he gets into this boat, and he starts sailing with these men. Now, I imagine that these men studied and knew the type of weather that they were going to have. Now, of course, we know that God controls the weather, and so none of us could know exactly. We can speculate as to what the weather is going to be like, but no one knows exactly what the weather is going to be like in the future. But I'm sure that these men had sailed these very seas many, many times. They had sailed at this time of the year many, many times, and they knew that bad weather was not expected. It would be as if we had a hurricane in January, when we know that in Florida, a hurricane season is from September to, or from June thereabouts to November. And so we know that anywhere from June all the way till November, we can have some type of hurricane. And so we gear up for that. We buy supplies for that. We know that during that period of time, we can expect bad weather. But I'm sure that these sailors did not expect bad weather. And so they were afraid. And they were wondering, what in the world is going on? Why are we having such a severe storm on this particular day at this particular time of year? And so the Bible says in verse 5, they started calling on their gods. They started calling out for help, because anyone with good common sense knows that when you are in distress, you have to call on God. Now, they did not serve the same God that Jonah did, but they had enough sense to know that when you're in trouble, only a supreme being can help you. And so they started, you know, calling on their deities. But Jonah was fast asleep. Why? Because Jonah was not bothered by anything, because he knew that the God that he served could take care of him. But the problem was, at this particular time, God was not going to take care of him because he was in disobedience to God. If you disobey God, if God tells you to do something and you do the exact opposite and you are walking in disobedience, I want you to know that God is not going to bless disobedience. And so they came to Jonah. Look at verse 6. "So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. If so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. Now, Jonah knew he was wrong to get on that boat with those people because he knew that the God that he served, the God that we serve, is the true and the living God. And he knew that if God had the power to destroy a whole city, imagine a tiny little ship on the sea. And so he was wrong to get on that ship and put those people in danger. Now, while those poor men were worrying and afraid because the sea had gotten so rough and the ship was bouncing back and forth on the sea, he was fast asleep. He was unconcerned. And so they woke him up and they said, you know, why are you not calling on your God? Perhaps your God will answer. Our gods that we have been calling on are obviously not, you know, they didn't say it in so many words, but I can imagine them thinking that, you know, whoever we're calling on is not helping us. Why don't you try your God? I want you to know that people try all types of things to help them. But they have got to understand, you have got to understand that you haven't tried anything until you try Jesus. Until you try calling on the true and the living God, you haven't tried anything at all. And so Jonah looked at them, and he didn't even respond. Look at verse 7. It says, "And they said, everyone to his fellow, come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah." Now, imagine this. They weren't even true believers. They weren't even believers in the one true God. But yet God set it up so that when they drew lots to try to figure out who was responsible for that evil being upon them, it all pointed to Jonah. You see, you can hide things that you do and try to think that you can get away with it, but you really cannot hide from God because God will bring those secret things out into the open. And so Jonah thought he was hiding, but he was not, because a lot fell upon him. And so in verse 8 it says, "Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou?" So they said to him, "Who are you? Where do you come from? Why is it that it's pointing to you that you're the reason why we're having all this trouble?" Look at verse 9. "And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which had made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them." And so, however Jonah explained it to them, they understood that he was running from God, and they were not happy about this at all. Look at verse 11. "Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may become unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea become unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you." And so the men wanted to know, what could they do to appease God? How could they stop the sea from, you know, being, you know, as bad as it was? You know, the boat was about to sink. It was about to tear apart. And so Jonah, you know, being a person that knew what God could do, he said, you know what, just take me up and throw me over the side of the boat. And, of course, these men didn't know Jonah's God. They did not know the God that we serve, who is the true and the living God, Alpha and Omega, beginning and end, the I am that I am. They did not know what God was capable of doing. And so they tried to avoid throwing Jonah over. Look at verse 13. It says, "Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. So as much as they rowed their boat to try to get to shore, they could not, because the sea was too rough. Look at verse 14. "Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. And so even they began to call on the true and the living God. And so perhaps it was not in vain that Jonah got on their boat, because now he has even these strangers calling on the true and the living God. Look at verse 15. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Immediately, as soon as they threw Jonah overboard, the sea calmed down. Now, isn't that something? God is in charge of the atmosphere. He's in charge of the sea. He's in charge of the land. Our God is in charge of everything. And I want to remind you that even if you have had an attitude like Jonah's in the past, where you decided that you were not going to obey God, I want you to know that your life still has purpose, because this is not the end of the story for Jonah. Even after they threw him overboard, God still had a plan for Jonah. And I want you to know that even if in the past it seems as if your life had been shipwrecked, I want you to know that your life still has purpose. God is a God of new beginnings. God is able to help you to start again. God is able to help you to build a future that is a good one. Your life still has purpose. Look at verse 16. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Now, I don't know what type of offerings, what kind of sacrifice they made unto the Lord, because, of course, you know they were on a ship, so they couldn't start a fire. So I don't know what kind of offerings they made unto the Lord, but the Bible says they made a sacrifice unto the Lord. So perhaps they had, you know, some fruit or perhaps an animal that they killed and threw overboard. I don't know what kind of sacrifice they made unto the Lord, but the Bible says they offered a sacrifice. And they made some vows, some promises to God, because they were truly thankful for what God had done in not harming all of them for the sake of Jonah. You see, God is a merciful God, and he is a kind God, and he truly spared their lives because he is God. And when you cry unto God, when we cry unto God, he does hear us. And he does respond. Look at verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. Now isn't that mercy? Isn't that mercy? Jonah decided to run from God. He decided to put those men's lives in danger. And God still had mercy on Jonah. The Bible says the Lord prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Now, I want you to know, dear friend, that even when you have done the wrong thing in the past, God told you to do one thing and you did something else, I want you to know that even so, that God is still able to do something great in your life. Why? Because God is merciful. He knew that at this particular time, Jonah was going to run. He knew that Jonah was going to put those sailors' lives in danger. He knew that he was going to have to prepare a shelter for Jonah. I want you to know, dear friend, that God knows everything about you. He knew the steps that you would take in your life. He knew the roundabout way that you would go in trying to find him, in trying to serve him. And I want you to know that he had already prepared a way out for you. He had already prepared that whale for you. He had already prepared some shelter in the middle of your storm for you. God had already prepared it. Even when you were fretting, even when you were having anguish over your situation, even when you were in distress over your situation, God already had it worked out for you. Your life still has purpose. God had already looked down from his throne. He had already seen your situation. He already knew the decisions in your life that you would make, and he already had something worked out for you. Why? Because your life still has purpose. Even when you make a mistake, even when you take a wrong turn, God told Jonah to go right and he went left. Even when God tells you to go right and you go left, your life still has purpose. Why? Because God is a God of mercy. He loves you, dear friend. He cares about you. He cares about your family. And because he's a God of mercy, he already has everything lined up for you, set up for you, so that your life could line up with the things of God. The Bible tells us that even in the belly of the whale, Jonah called upon his God, and his life still had purpose, even in his distress. Even in that situation right now, his life still had purpose. Let's look at it. Jonah chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. Now, I want you to notice that. It did not say that after God allowed the whale to spit him out, then he prayed. Jonah, in the middle of whatever was going on, he prayed. So what does that tell us? That tells us that even in the middle of tragedy, even in the middle of a challenge, even in the middle of hardship, even in the middle of disappointment, even in the middle of setbacks, you should always remember to cry out to God. You should always remember to pray, because how can you get an answer if you do not pray? How can God hear you if you haven't opened up your mouth and spoken to him, communicated with him, talked with him? God expects us to communicate our needs to him. He already knows our needs in advance, but he is waiting on us to open up our mouth and to seek him. The Bible says, seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. So I want to encourage you to seek the face of God. Why? Because your life still has purpose. Even in the belly of a whale, your life still has purpose. Look at verse 2. And out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. So even when the situation that you're going through seems as if it's more than you can handle, it's more than you can take, I want you to know that God sees your situation. He knows what you're going through. And when you begin to cry out to God, God does hear you. Your life still has purpose. You will hear me say this over and over and over again to you, dear friend, because your life still has purpose. God has great things in your future. Your latter days are going to be better than your former days. I want you to know that the things that God has prepared for you in your future, wow, if you could only see it, if you could only imagine it, it would blow your mind, because God has great things in your future. If you would just continue walking, if you would just continue praying, if you would just continue seeking the face of God, you will see that God has already ordained it that you should be blessed. God has already ordained it that you should be like Christ, that you should be conformed to his image. Dear friend, remember this, that God loves you very much, and that your life still has purpose. The Bible says in verse 3, Jonah chapter 2, verse 3, for thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed round about me. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. So we see that even when we are overwhelmed, with things going on around us that are hard to handle, that are challenging, we understand that God will bring us back up. You know, someone once said that when you are down, the only place to go is up. I want you to know, dear friend, that even in the belly of a whale, even when it seems as if you are challenged, remember that your life still has purpose. Look at verse 7. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Now, imagine this. Now that Jonah sees that he cannot run from God, now he is rededicating himself to God. Now, I want you to reflect on this for a moment. Never, ever think that you are so far from God that you cannot rededicate yourself to him, that you cannot renew your vows. Whenever the enemy tries to trick you, to lie to you, because that's his job to do, to lie to us, I want you to remind him that God has already delivered you. God has already set you free. God has already put your feet on the solid rock, Christ Jesus, and that you're standing on the promises of God. I want you to remind him and to remind yourself that God has already made a way for you. God has already done what you have asked him to do. God has already given you victory. And because God has already given you victory, you don't have to worry about those who will speak to you as if you're not already delivered, or they will constantly throw up your past in your face. Well, you can say later for them. In other words, I will not allow you to disparage my, you know, my life right now. I will not allow you to talk about me or what have you. Why? Because whatever you're saying is in my path. God has already delivered me. God has already strengthened me. And, you know, the Bible says, if God be for you, who can be against you? Amen. Your life still has purpose. Look at verse 10. The Bible says, and the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon dry land. Dear friend, if you have been going through some challenges lately, I want you to understand that God has already made a way for that fish to release you. God has already made a way for you to get out of that predicament. I want you to know that your life still has purpose. Jonah got into that situation because he disobeyed God. And sometimes when God speaks to us, and God speaks in an audible voice, a voice that we can hear, we sometimes ignore that voice. Why? Because what he's asking us to do sometimes seems too difficult. It sometimes seems as if, you know, God, why are you asking me to do that? Why don't you ask someone else? But see, God has a reason why he chooses those who he chooses. And if he has chosen you to do his will, just go ahead and do it. Don't stop working for God. Don't stop doing what you're doing. Because if God has called you to do it, you need to just go on and do it. Jonah wanted to take a break from doing what he had been called to do. And he knew that he was wrong. He knew that he was wrong. And so God allowed him to go through that difficulty on purpose. He had to deal with almost practically drowning. He was thrown over a boat, thrown into water. Who knows, you know, I'm assuming that he could swim, but God had to set up a large fish, a whale, to swallow him and to keep him safe for 3 days and three nights. Why? You know, we can compare it to the fact that Jesus died on the cross and rose in 3 days. You know, so we can compare it to the fact that whenever we go under, God is always going to bring us up. And when it seems as if we are about to die, I want you to know that Jesus has already conquered death and the grave. Jesus has already conquered death and the grave. And so we don't have to fear. We don't have to worry. Jonah became disobedient by not wanting to go and tell those people what God told him to tell them. Sometimes we try to sugarcoat what God tells us to tell people. We try to not say it in that way. We try to be nice when God says, this person needs to be told what is going on. They need to be told that they need to repent. They need to change their life. Jonah did not want to do that. And I'll tell you why Jonah did not want to do that, because Jonah did not want God to save those people. Sometimes when we see that someone is doing better than we are, we become envious and we become jealous. Sometimes we have new Christians who come into the church and they are so excited about God that God just begins just to bless them, just to overflow in their life. And sometimes people can become jealous of that. I want you to know that Jonah was called to do this. He didn't want to do it, but in the end, he had to do what he was called to do. Dear friend, if you find yourself having a Jonah experience, realize this, that you cannot be a hater. In other words, you cannot go around being envious of other people, because God is about to bless them. God is about to do great things in their life. You must do what God has called you to do. If God says bless them, bless them. Why? Because when you bless others, those blessings come right back to you. Don't hesitate to be a blessing to someone else. Don't stop being encouraging to other people. Don't stop strengthening other people, because as you strengthen other people, God will strengthen you also. You know, even since I've been doing this radio ministry, I want you to know that when I teach others, I'm also teaching myself. When I encourage you, I'm also encouraging myself. Why? Because I realize that my life still has purpose. Your life still has purpose. And God wants us to understand that He is calling us into obedience. He is calling us to listen to His voice. He is calling us to do His will. We're living in the last days, dear friend. Jesus is coming soon and very soon. It is no time to sit around and be complacent, but it is time to go out and preach the gospel. It is time to go out and tell people that Jesus is coming soon. Dear friend, your life still has purpose. I want you to take this word and run with it. I want you to go and tell everybody you meet your life still has purpose. I know that you've been through all types of sickness. You've been through divorce. You've been through, you know, marriages that did not work out. You've been through breakups. Some people have been through abuse of situations, been through abortions, been through all types of things. It does not matter, dear friend, what you have been through. It does not matter what your past looks like. What matters is that God is already in your future, and He says it's a good one. What matters is that you understand that the moment that you ask God to forgive you of your sins, He did it already. And He says that He remembers your sins no longer. Sometimes the enemy will try to bring some of those things back to your mind, and you have to rebuke him. You have to take authority over your mind, take authority over your body, take authority over your feelings. You have to just trust God and realize that He is already blessing you. The blessings of Abraham, they're already yours. I want you to know that this is your year. This is your season to be blessed. God has already worked out everything in your favor. God is showing you favor right now. God is blessing you right now. If you would just walk in obedience to God, God will open up the windows of heaven and He will bless you. And so in chapter 3, dear friend, we see where Jonah did what God had told him to do. Verse 1 in chapter 3 says, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city 3 days' journey. And he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything, let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Dear friend, when God speaks to you, do it the first time. Don't run from God. Don't let him have to tell you a second time what you need to do. When God directs you, obey his voice the first time. I think it was, you know, not so nice that God had to speak to Jonah more than once to get Jonah to obey. Dear friend, if God has been speaking to you and you are having a Jonah experience, you just feel like running, you don't really feel like doing what God is calling you to do, I want you to know that even though you're having a Jonah experience, God is still a merciful God. He is still a kind God, and he is willing to give you that second chance. God is a God of second chances, and I want you to know that if you are doing ministry, if you are doing what God has called you to do, continue doing it. Continue doing it. Why? Because God has great things in store for you, for your faithfulness in doing the work that you were called to do. Your life still has purpose. Continue doing the work. Continue encouraging others, because God has already ordained it that you should be blessed. There's a scripture that I read this morning in devotion with the ladies at the prison, and I'm going to read it quickly to you, just a little bit of it. 2 Samuel 22. As you know, with the situation with David, and I might actually continue 2 Samuel on another day, but 2 Samuel chapter 22, David had been running from Saul, and God just ordained it that he should get out of that situation. And each time Saul tried to get David, God just protected David. And so David decided to say some very, very interesting things. He said, in verse 3, the God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. When the waves of death compassed me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid, the sorrows of hell compassed me about, the snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears. Isn't that interesting? You know, when I read this this morning, I said, wow. You know, God hears us whenever we are in distress, and not only does he hear us, but he's actually listening. It goes into his ears. You know, sometimes people can speak to you, but you're not really listening. And I was just blessed when I read this morning to realize that not only does God hear us, but he actually listens. He actually takes time. He actually pauses for a moment to inquire as to what our prayer request is. And I just thought that was so marvelous to know that not only does God hear us, but he actually listens. He actually listens. And if you read this over, I know you will be blessed by 2 Samuel chapter 22. It says in verse 31, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him. Do you know what a buckler is? That's like when you go into your car and you put your seatbelt on. You know, that seatbelt is there to hold you into that vehicle so that if you ever get into a car crash, you would not be thrown out of your vehicle. I want you to know that when the Bible says that God is your buckler, what it's saying is that God's holding me tight in his arms. God is shielding me from everything that the enemy would try to bring against me. God is helping me in such a way that even when something would try to disturb my tranquility, my presence of mind, God will shield me in such a way that that thing cannot touch me. You know, it is just amazing to me when you really read the scripture and when you really focus on it and realize that God said that he would buckle us in for the ride. Amen, amen. Look at verse 32. It says, for who is God, save the Lord? And who is a rock, save our God? God is my strength and power, and he make it my way perfect. My Lord, oh, I just give him praise right now. Lord, you make it my way perfect. In other words, even when the way seems a little bit rocky, it seems a little bit shaky, God is able to prepare the way before me. He is able to make my way perfect. He is able to smooth things out in front of me, and I don't have to worry. I want you to know, dear friend, that God is still on his throne. He is worthy to be praised. Look at verse 47. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation. Listen, God is the rock of your salvation. Look at verse 51. He is the tower of salvation for his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, unto David and to his seed forevermore. I want you to know that when you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that you became part of Abraham's seed. And this says that God would show mercy to his anointed, to David, and to his seed forevermore. That means as long as you live, as long as you stay faithful, God would not only bless you, but he would bless your children, your grandchildren, and those that are not even born yet. That is such a blessing to know that God is our strong tower, that he is our help, that he fights on our behalf, that he keeps us from violence, that even when we feel like we're overwhelmed or surrounded with negative people and people who don't have our best interests at heart, that God sees, he knows, he understands. We don't have to worry because God is already working everything out for us. Dear friend, your life still has purpose. Your life still has purpose. And even when you are challenged by the cares of this life, I just want you to just listen to this message again and realize that God is telling you today that your life still has purpose. So many things that God is speaking to you right now. He is directing your life. He is ordering your steps. Your steps are ordered by the Lord. You're not just going around in random fashion in circles, but I want you to know that God has already ordered your steps, and that if you would just continue to be faithful to him, you will see that soon and very soon you will be able to see the fulfillment of some dreams that you have been working on for a very long time. You will see that God is going to work out some of those things for you, and you'll be able to just lift up your hands and just rejoice. And a matter of fact, rejoice in advance. Rejoice in advance. Our theme verse that we close with is Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And our closing thought is, persistence is the key. Smile anyhow. Don't give up. There is no such thing as can't. And what you believe, you can achieve. God bless you, dear friend. I pray that God will just keep you in the palm of his hands. Bow your head and let us pray. Dear Lord, we just give you glory, honor, and praise. We thank you, Lord God, for this time that we were able to study together tonight. Lord, I pray for your sons and your daughters right now, that you would truly bless them. I pray, oh God, for one that is discouraged, that you might uplift their hearts right now. I pray for those that are sick, Lord God, those that are shut in. Lord God, we pray that you would truly touch them right now. God, we know that you're able to do all things but fail. Lord, I thank you, Lord God, that you're touching my godson right now, Shayon. Lord, touch and heal his kidney right now. I know that you're able, oh God, to do it. Lord God, I know that you're able, Father, to move in a special way. Lord God, remember those that are having trouble with their eyesight. God, we know that you're able to restore eyesight right now. Lord God, I pray for that one that's having trouble, oh God, climbing stairwells right now, God. Every time they climb the stairs, they're having trouble in their legs and their lower back. Lord, I pray that you would touch right now, move in a special way. Lord God, I pray for that one that needs a financial breakthrough, God, something I know that we can all use, God. But Lord God, someone specific that's praying for a breakthrough in their finances, Lord God, I don't know if it's a mortgage or a car payment, Lord God, but whatever that it's a large amount that they're looking for to help them, God. I pray right now, Lord God, that you would truly touch, open up the windows of heaven and bless them right now. God, I thank you because I know that you hear and you answer prayers. And I thank you right now, God, for moving in a special way, God, for guiding us, for giving us that special strength. Comfort those that need comfort, and oh God, Lord God, give peace, Lord, to those who need peace. And Lord God, those that are still struggling, God, with addictive thinking and addictions, oh God, I pray that you'll deliver them right now. Lord God, we just thank you, oh God, because you are truly merciful. You love us. You care about us. And we thank you, Lord God, that our life still has purpose. We give you praise. We give you glory. God, remember those around the world, oh God, mothers and fathers and children that need a touch from you. We pray that you'll touch them right now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Dear friend, I thank you so much for studying with me tonight. I pray that you will join me again as we study on other evenings, Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday, 9:30 to 10:30. God bless you as we close with Second Chance Ministries, Caribbean Gospel out of Fort Lauderdale, Nailed to the Cross.
Thank you, Jesus.
Growing audience around the country, and also those up in the Jacksonville area, Fort Lauderdale, and in different areas where you are listening. God bless you. Know that you are loved, and I thank you so much for joining me on tonight. We close with Second Chance Ministries, to bless, to be stressed. May the peace of God be with you.
Make that summer we bless, still we fool. Me a running out, the blessings are running down. Me a dead, Right now, man, you know, say me well blessed. Inna me life, a pure peace and happiness. Inna me face, man, you can't find no stress. Me love God, so no doubt me, I confess. Jesus Christ, I'm my Lord, I'm my Savior. Jesus Christ, Him is my Redeemer. Jesus Christ, Him is my Provider. Jesus Christ, Him is my Protector. Right now, I am just the one I'm dead. I'm the one I'm just to be disappointed. Right now, church, I'm just too blessed. Just too blessed to be blessed. I am too blessed. No thunder and storming, but then me watch how God start performing. 5 minutes later and the storm start coming. Don't you know God is in full control? Nobody sit down in a chair with your hands full. Nobody make Satan make you feel cool. Everybody in the place, I shine like real cool. Me want everybody in the place to get hot like.